Good morning. It's great to see so many of you this morning. It's wonderful to be back in God's house, and I am certainly glad that you are here. If you're worshiping with us on Facebook Live today, if you would leave us a like or a heart or a comment that we might know that you're here. Now, I'll tell you, if you're sitting here in church and you want to comment back to somebody to say hi, don't hesitate to do that. Also, if you're with Facebook Live this morning, we will have communion at the end of our service if you need to secure some communion elements. If you're here with us, you may choose to keep your mask on. If you need to pull it down to do whatever, it's great. You notice I don't have mine on. That's why you're not three rows closer than what you are. Betty Jan won't sing with hers. We've got roughly 20 feet between us, so that might be good enough for what we're doing. We won't greet today in the church foyer. When we're through, we'll go outside to do so. You don't have Bibles or hymnals in the pews. Our song lyrics are in the bulletin. You can sing with your mask. Like I said, Betty Jan and I don't have ours on. While we're up here, if you need to use a restroom, please use the ones in the foyer only. You notice the drinking fountains are taped off. If you need to bring something to drink with you, bottle of water or whatever, you can certainly do that. Some changes today. No offering trays will be passed. Okay? You see an offering tray at the front, an offering tray at the back. If you need to put your offering in one of those trays, during the offertory, Dr. Sam will be playing, and you can calmly and easily step up and put your offering in there. There won't be communion trays passed. Does everyone have communion? Does everybody have communion elements? Good, good. We will participate, we practice this now for 6 months. Cindy Kingston, Michelle Swim, and I, and Jim Jackson, when he's been able to come, have practiced this for 6 months. I'm going to do all the parts today. There won't be an elder up here. When I say the communion prayer, I will, after it's over, I will lift up my bread and my cup, and I will say something that Jesus said, and then say, these are the gifts of God. And when we do that, then tear the top cellophane off. There's the wafer. Tear the top off of the grape juice and drink the grape juice. Now, I'm going to tell you today, drink it all. Drink it all, because you're going to put it back in the... There's a place, you've wondered for years what those little things are in the pews in front of you. That's what those are for. Okay? That's what those are for. And then when the service is over, if you're going to take your bulletin home, take your bulletin home. If not, there is a trash basket at the back that you can put those and your spent communion cups. We're going to exit this morning, if it's at all possible. We will exit with the back row, people in the back rows first. That way we're not all getting too close to each other. And I'm going to come out this side. If you want to visit and fist bump and an air hug and elbow bump with me and do all of that, I'll be outside, actually, on this side over here. The only other announcement, we will have a short board meeting next week. Next week, we'll have a short board meeting after church. There's not a whole lot of business to take care of. Give you kind of an idea of a financial update and stuff like that. There are a couple of things we're going to do, but that's really about it. There's a lengthy prayer list today. Because we're online, unless you feel that it's just, I'm really not going to mention all the names today online. I do want you to remember in your prayers today the people facing another hurricane on the Gulf Coast, and also those who are, my goodness, if you've seen the news, in harm's way in California and Oregon and Washington and even in Colorado. I can't even imagine it being like that in Colorado. Also, during these days, in these 2 months before our election, pray for civility and tolerance by everybody as we get ready for this. I know it's a tough one, but I ask your prayers for that. Now let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Our words are in your bulletin. Betty Jan, would you lead us, you and Dr. Sam, in our hymn this morning? Let's prepare with the call to worship. Blessed be God, Creator Christ and Holy Spirit, and blessed be God's kingdom now and forever. Amen. We gather to give thanks for all the blessings and hope of life. We praise God, we rejoice and give thanks. We join our voices in praise and thanksgiving. In all things, may God be glorified. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. You have brought us again to new life, O God, and gathered us today in this community to be your people as we work and witness in this world. Feed us today with the presence of our risen Savior and breathe into us your Spirit, that we may be enabled to glorify you in all that we say and in all that we do through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture readings this morning, first from the 103rd Psalm. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And then from the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin and me against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the reckoning, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that servant released him and forgave the debt. But that same servant, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and besought him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison till he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you besought me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger his Lord delivered him to the jailers till he should pay all of his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You see the prayer list in your bulletin this morning. We certainly always want to remember all of the individuals on that list, as well as our national, state, and local leaders, armed forces, all of our first responders, the victims of oppression, racism, terrorism, abuse, homelessness, hunger, and as I mentioned before, natural disasters. Veterans and refugees, healthcare workers, educators and students, mental health and social workers, farmers and ranchers, workers in stores and restaurants, those who keep everything supplied and clean and inspected and safe, and those who move goods across our country. Everybody that's in small business, for all families, again, for our election process, victims of the pandemic, those who are ill, those who have died, even in our community. For all of those that celebrate birthdays and anniversaries this week, for those on our church prayer list and for those on our personal prayer lists, for all of these people, the Lord be with you. God of all that you have created, as a people gathered in hope, we are moved by the despair of others. As a people of love, we ache for those who are lonely, lost, and fearful. As a people of life, we mourn with those who are touched by death. And as people who struggle to trust more fully in you, help us to minister your gospel. We pray that you would move our nation towards the justice of your peace. Bless our national, state, and local officials, both elected and appointed, to serve all people with integrity. Purge from us all hatred and prejudice, and build within us your love, that even in our dealings with the other nations of this earth, we may be servants of peace and truth and justice. Bless our homes with the joy of your presence. Strengthen our covenants of family and of faith, that our children may grow into the fullness of faith, that together we may show forth your praise in our world through deeds and words of love and compassion, especially with those who are lonely and alone. And we pray for our community and nation and for our church. We pray for those who are sick and recovering, and those whose sickness will lead even to death. In life, in death, in life beyond death, you are with us, and for this we give you thanks. Empower this church and all your people to awaken to the reality of your presence, your grace, and your love, and bring us at last with all your saints to that feast that has no end, which you have prepared for all who put their trust in you through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last week we talked about conflict. We talked about conflict. Today we talk about conflict's best friend, forgiveness. Let us pray. How is it, O God, that we should dare to speak of Thee, except that Thou hast already given us what it is we are to say? Help us amidst all of these words to hear Thy word, and in hearing it, help us to live it in obedience to Thee. And now may the words of my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, be acceptable in Thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the towns where I coached, after 3 years, the walls started closing in on us even during that third football season, a season in which the program and the school would realize the best single season record in all the years that they've been playing football. It did not help us when another assistant coach went to lady on the school board whose son was not playing quarterback. You know how this is going to go. Lady thought her son should be quarterback. Coach told her that if he were the head coach, her son would be the quarterback. And because of that, as you can imagine, that didn't bode well for us in that town, and we left. Now, to make the long story short, I ended up in Glen Rose for a lot of years, and the head coach, my longtime friend and mentor, ended up in a neighboring school for a couple of years, and then coached several years at the local Catholic school, where he won a couple of state championships and became the legend that he is. We both, to use his term, and I used it last week, landed on our feet. Now, everything that happened in that little community led to a huge division in the town, a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of fractured relationships. Wasn't a lot of forgiveness around there for a long time. And the least of the forgivers for a long time, you're looking at him. You're looking at him. Now, Forgiveness has to be one of the most difficult human acts, not only to give, but also to receive. For Jesus to tell this parable means that there's a lot at stake here. That's how Jesus works. Why is forgiveness so important for us, for God? And I promise you, it's a challenge. It's different. I'm telling you the story this week. It's different when we're talking about me and you than when we're just talking about somebody else. And of course, the other challenge of the passage is Jesus' call to generous forgiveness. More than just a quick looking at somebody and going, sorry, or sending them a text. No, we have to forgive, and we have to do it a lot. And a lot means a lot. Poor old Peter proposes this big-hearted amount 7 times. That's pretty generous. We don't have to forgive people 7 times very often. Everybody looks at us and goes, oh, that's okay. Sure, that's fine, I accept. But Jesus says maybe more like perhaps 77 times, maybe even 70 times 7, 490, maybe even more. Dumbledore, you have to go back to know that name. Dumbledore, the head wizard in the Harry Potter series, says people find it easier to forgive others for being wrong than for being right. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. says that forgiveness is not an occasional act, it's a constant attitude. The great writer and theologian C.S. Lewis says that to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Finally, that daytime TV theologian Oprah Winfrey says that forgiveness is letting go of the hope that the past can be changed. The 21st century theologian Fred Buechner says that to forgive somebody is to say one way or another, you have done something unspeakable, and by all rights, I should call it quits between you and me. Both my pride and my principles demand no less. However, although I make no guarantees that I will be able to forget what you've done, and though we may still carry some of the scars for life, I refuse to let it stand between us. I still want you to be my friend. And sometimes that's really where we are. To accept forgiveness is just as hard. It means you have to admit that you've done something that unspeakable yourself, that needs to be forgiven. And thus, both parties must swallow the same thing. Their pride seems to explain what Jesus means when he says to God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But Jesus is not saying that God's forgiveness is conditional upon our forgiving others. In the first place, forgiveness that's conditional isn't really forgiveness at all. And in the second place, our unforgivingness is among those things about us that we need to have God forgive us for the most. What Jesus is saying is the pride that keeps us from forgiving is the pride, the same pride that keeps us from accepting forgiveness. And will God please help us to do something about it? When somebody you've wronged forgives you, you're spared the dull and self-diminishing throb of a guilty conscience. When you forgive somebody who has wronged you, you're spared the dismal corrosion of bitterness and wounded pride. And you know how it goes. In anger, we said something once that we could have cut our tongues out for afterwards. Or in anger, somebody said something to us. But out of somewhere, forgiveness came and a bridge was rebuilt. Or maybe the forgiveness never came and to this day we found no bridge back. If you're my age or older, and maybe younger, I don't know, you might remember the most famous photo to come from the Vietnam War. A small girl running naked down the road with an expression of unimaginable terror, her clothes burned off and her body scorched by napalm. The man who coordinated the raid on this child's village in June of 71 was a 24-year-old U.S. Army helicopter pilot and operations officer named John Plummer. The day after the raid, conducted by South Vietnamese airplanes, Plummer saw the photo in the military newspaper, Stars and Stripes, was devastated. Said it knocked me to my knees, and that was when I knew I could never talk about it. The girl in the photo, Pham Thi Kim, survived 17 operations, eventually relocated to Toronto, Canada, became an occasional goodwill ambassador for the helpful organization UNESCO. In 96, Plummer heard that Kim would be speaking to a Veterans Day observance in Washington, not far from his home. She said that day, if I could talk face to face with a pilot who dropped the bombs, I would tell him that we could not change history. We cannot change history, but we should try to do good things for the present. Plummer in the audience wrote her a note, I am that pilot, and asked an officer to take it to her. At the end of her speech, he pushed through the crowd to reach her. Soon they were face to face. She opened her arms to me, he said, and I just fell into her arms. All I could say was, I'm so sorry. I'm just so sorry. And she said, it's all right. I forgive. I forgive. Every Sunday, millions of Christians in this country pray for God to forgive us as we forgive others. And I wonder, to what extent do we really take that seriously? I mean, let's face it, there's something very difficult about really forgiving those who have wronged us, more than just some sense of social acceptability. Working on this sermon actually got to me too. And I'd seen where the other coach, who had thrown us under the bus way back down the road, had commented on Facebook on one of our fellow teachers' posts from all those years ago. And I realized at that point it had been over 30 years. Actually, this was what spurred me to preach this sermon. And I sent him a Facebook friend request. I mean, it's high time for me to forgive him. And maybe at some point he can forgive me too. And I'm waiting to hear back. But I will tell you, in reference to last week's sermon, I actually let it go a long time ago. In 1989, the televangelist Jim Baker, you know that name, was convicted of 24 counts of fraud, sentenced to 45 years in prison. At the time, his PTL ministry had multi-million-dollar annual revenues. It had 3,000 employees, television programs airing in 52 countries. Baker's conviction was appealed twice, but never overturned. His sentence was reduced twice, but an early parole was denied, and so Baker served about 5 years in prison. And I don't tell this story to elicit an opinion about Jim Baker. But in 2013, Baker and his second wife, Lori, visited the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina, and while they were there, they laid flowers on the grave of Ruth Graham. Lori remembers the Grahams as valley walking friends with Jim when he went through that rough time of being where he was. Billy Graham visited Jim in prison several times. The first Sunday after Jim was released from prison, Ruth hosted him in her home church and it was an obvious display of public support, and sat with him. Jim and Lori Baker attended Ruth's 80th birthday celebration in 2000. Lori thanked Ruth for what she had done for Jim Baker. Now, Ruth Graham was rooted in reality, and despite her husband's fame, she had both feet on the ground. While Billy golfed with presidents and traveled 6 months a year, she stayed home and raised five kids, wrote a dozen books. She was a feisty woman with a sharp wit. When an interviewer once asked her if she'd ever considered divorce, Billy was never there, considered divorce. She responded, "No, I've never thought of divorce at all. I did think of murder a few times. Never thought of divorce." See, we all need a Ruth Bell Graham in our lives. Someone who will speak to us with clarity and conviction about God's unconditional forgiveness and then follow through with it. And then we all need to be a Ruth Bell Graham to others. Jesus told a parable about an unmerciful servant who received forgiveness for his huge debt. Then instead of forgiving a tiny debt that he himself was owed, he imprisoned his debtor for crying out loud. What was that all about? Jesus told us to forgive not merely seven times, but 70 times seven. Divine forgiveness given and received is beyond calculation or comprehension. It was so flabbergasting to the original audience that the later scribes couldn't even agree on the number that Jesus had said. They weren't sure if Jesus had said 70 plus 7 or 70 times 7. But either way, it's more than we usually think we need to accomplish. Forgiveness on that scale is wildly disproportionate to the sincerity of the penitent or the seriousness of their offense. Anyone who seeks serial forgiveness for the same old kinds of stuff over and over makes us question their motives. But Jesus says it doesn't matter. We still forgive them. Later, after his resurrection, Jesus restored Peter as they sat around the fire. No doubt a painful reminder of when he betrayed Jesus at his crucifixion. If you visit the grave of Ruth Bell Graham in Charlotte, you find a simple granite stone with a simple inscription that she herself requested. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. As works under construction who need the patience of others to the very end, we can freely give and receive that extravagant forgiveness that Jesus commends. And for us, every day, that's the good news. That's the gospel. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Amen.